Hello, this is John Curtis, and you're listening to the Beat 2 Football Podcast.
Hello, and welcome to the Beat 2 Football Podcast. I'm Chris Lapp, and I'm delighted to be joined on the line by Mark Todd. How you doing, Stephen, Mark?
I'm doing very well, thank you, Chris. Good to join you, mate.
Mark is the head of community with 15 years experience managing and developing community programmes at Sheffield United. So before we get on to your community work, I want to quickly discuss your career, if that's okay?
Yeah, quickly. It ended rather quickly, so yeah.
So how did you get into the game?
Well, like any young boy in Belfast, mate, playing on the streets, there was a huge passion for football.
Yeah.
And growing up in the background of George Best and I suppose latterly Norman Whiteside, these kind of heroes that we all looked up to.
Mm.
But just like any boy, playing for the school, and then just you find yourself developing quite nicely and get a little bit of recognition.
Mm.
And then you just stick with it. You have a real passion for it. It's really all I wanted to do, if I'm honest. Never really saw myself in the sort of developing community programs for 15 years, but.
No.
Yeah, but it's just it was an easy one. I loved it, played it every day, real passion for it. Like I say, I was pretty good at it, to be honest. And the rest is history. You just follow your dream and realise your dream. So I had fantastic years developing that over a 12, 13 year period.
Yeah,
so as a professional.
How were you spotted by United?
It was through the Northern Ireland youth setup, really.
Yeah.
Every summer we'd go to sort of these summer camps. All the sort of the best players in the country would go to these summer camps from about 11 years onwards.
Mm.
And they were full of sort of scouts, local scouts, English scouts, Scottish scouts, for the football clubs. So I ended up sort of being chosen, along with my best friend at the time, a guy called Peter Greer.
Yeah.
He's still my best friend. We were invited to go on trial to Manchester United, so at 13, 14, it's not something that you want to turn down. So in my case, I ended up sticking out with him for 2 or 3 years in trialing the schoolboys, etc. And they asked me to become an apprentice young professional, so I spent another 3 years there. It was actually Bob Bishop, was my guide
yeah.
in Northern Ireland, who founded Bestie, founded Norman, founded Sammy Mack. So I was in a long list of, although I'm not in their category, trust me, but a long list of Belfast players signing for Manchester United.
So were you there when Alex Ferguson joined?
I was at the end, yeah. My first manager was Big Ron.
Yeah.
So, and then obviously Ron got the sack in November of 86. October 86, I think it was, in Southampton,
yeah.
Cup came, and the gaffer came in, and Sir Alex came in, and yeah, the change around was quite dramatic.
Mm.
Him and Archie Knox came in and really sort of blew a whirlwind through the club,
yeah.
And finally got it right, of course, and again, the rest is history in terms of the success they brought to the club, and the trophies they brought, and along with some very other good people there, like Eric Harrison,
yeah.
who was my youth team coach. The boys of 92, the class of 92 is set up there as the biggest and best return from their youth programme. But to this day, and I follow a couple of the guys on Twitter,
yeah.
Who watch Man United in and out, I think they've got something ridiculous, like 3,600 consecutive first team games where a youth team player is in the full match day squad. So phenomenal rate of success through from the youth team right up to into the first team there at Manchester United. And although I didn't make the first team, my experience there was second to none, and held me in good stead for the rest of my career, trust me.
So in 1987 you moved to Sheffield United, and what prompted the move?
Prompted the move really was Sir Alex, I can hear his voice now, just saying you're just not really the profile of player we're looking at building on.
Yeah.
Probably slightly smaller in those days. I was never a giant, but I just accepted the fact that I wasn't his type, their type at that time, and had to find another club really that looked at me as a, like someone who they could develop further. I was only 19, so I was still developing. And luckily, I found a manager in Billy McEwen at the time who wanted me to come and develop further with him. So, and that was a really good period for me. Although Billy did get ended up getting the sack.
Mm.
It wasn't the greatest of squads, and he'll probably you know, give testament to that.
Yeah, so you joined the...
something brilliant for me. Oh. Yeah.
Sorry.
Sorry, Chris.
You joined the club when it was a bit of a yo-yo club. So was it difficult to get set aside and the style of play when you're moving through the divisions? Or?
Well, I think when Harry came in, there was a definite change in style.
Yeah.
But I think what Harry brought to the team was, certainly brought to the club was a different type of structure and a different type of mentality, if I'm honest. Quickly changed the squad around. We did get relegated that year to the first year there. But remarkably, 2 years later, with back-to-back promotions, we found ourselves back in Division One, which is now in Premier League. So a phenomenal time for everyone at the club, myself included. So a lot of success. And we do get a lot of plaudits even to this day about not so much the criticism of the style. I think it was more the fact that squeezing the assets, we were a really put together squad on a budget. And I would imagine it was a very strict budget. Speaking to the lads these days, how much they were getting paid, I'm sure it was a strict budget. But... The output and the return on investment from the football club point of view was amazing. As I say, back-to-back promotions had two very good strikers in those days, and Dean and McGarner scoring lots of goals. But behind that, there were some cracking players, Ian Bryce and Glenn Hodges, my friend down at Northampton, Chris Wilder, Simon Tracy and Cole, some cracking players there who went on to have a long-established career.
So it must have been an experience working under Dave Bassett. Was that just that after his Wimbledon spell?
It was, yeah. It was actually just after his Watford spell. His short Watford spell.
Yeah.
Didn't really work out for him there for whatever reason. But I think he found his mojo, so to speak, with Sheffield and Sheffield United. He's held in high regard, and rightly so. But he was able to. Put together a squad, like I say, on not a great deal of money and not a great budget. But as I say, it was just a phenomenal return. And for us as players, within that, like I say, talking about Sheffield United, had not really achieved much, sort of maybe in the 5, 6, 10 years previous, to be involved in that type of success. As I say, it certainly holds me in good stead nowadays in my position as head of community at the football club, because people still come up to me and talk fondly about those days, and that for me says it all. That's probably why football has become football in the first place. You know, to be successful and to really make a connection with the supporters, of which we did that in those great years there, in the late 80s, early 90s.
Do you know why he's called Harry?
I could have probably told you then, but I can't quite remember why he's called Harry. I'll find out and tweet it for him.
So you had a couple of spells with a few other clubs before you had to retire through injury. It was
an absolutely dreadful time, to be honest.
Yeah.
And it just came up. I mean, I had a little indication of the tendonitis previously to actually finish my career. I had a spell at Rotherham where I had a big surgery, out for a year, trying to get back, but I just couldn't. The knee wasn't strong enough to last for the full-time training and obviously playing full-time. So, unfortunately, the decision really was made for me to come out of full-time and try and find an alternative way of trying to find an alternative career. But it was a really poor time, other than, my mum at that time was diagnosed with bowel cancer. I was going through a divorce as well. So it was a really difficult time. But good friends around me and a bit of a talking to myself, because you do have some dark moments, but, I had too much to gain, and
Yeah.
I was being a bit of a grafter and a bit of a fighter, and you know, and all of a sudden I started taking my coaching badges. I went back to work and training with the youth team at Rotherham, being mentored by my good friend Billy Russell, who's now youth team coach over at Hull City. But a lot to be thankful for Billy. And as I say, he supported me through that. And then the little change around the football club, the community role came up.
Yeah.
And I needed a full time job and went for it and got it, but I didn't really know what I was doing, if I'm honest.
Could you tell us a bit about your role as
At that time, yeah, it was very much a football product. So built around lots of football services, football camps, football clubs, football birthday parties, very much a football product. I mean, nowadays, you know, as head of the community here, I mean, to give you an example, I have 6 full-time teachers within the business delivering sports and education curriculum and BTEC program. So it's an absolute, it's just such a change in delivery and service products that we put out there. But still, it's about connecting that local football club to its local community, be it Sheffield, be it at Rotherham. I had a great time there at Rotherham. So it's really about connecting and giving opportunities for the children and adults and within that community that perhaps need it the most. But you know, we still provide those core programs into schools and our football camps all around the city. So we've never really gone away from our core values and core service, but it's just, there's been so many other opportunities to widen the scope, broaden the horizons, deliver the NTS program on behalf of the Cabinet Office, NTS Trust, deliver education services, you know, big subcontracts with local colleges. So it's a vast and various way of getting out to our community and making sure that this football club is seen as is contributing to the health and wealth of Sheffield.
Yeah, so are there volunteer opportunities at the foundation if any volunteers want to get involved?
Yeah, I mean, we have a very interactive Twitter feed that people, you know, can see exactly what we're delivering, various programs. We've got some health programs running, the Fit Farms program, which is a referral program with one of the departments in the Sheffield City Council. We run the Steel City Fit Club in collaboration with SIV, funded by Sport England. The NCS program itself, the 15 to 17 year old, for 15 to 17 year old children in the city.
Yeah.
So if they're looking to sort of gain qualifications, gain volunteer hours, we've got a massive volunteer program. They just need to get in touch with us. They can email us at community@sufc.co.uk or ring the office on Sheffield 261 9883. So we have grown the business remarkably over the last 2 or 3 years. We had a little restructure 2 or 3 years ago. I've got a fantastic leadership team who run their own department, really skillful, knowledgeable people. But we are very much doing it on behalf of Sheffield United, albeit under a charitable banner.
How would somebody get in touch if they wanted to support the foundation in another way? Is it become a Patreon?
We like to speak to new businesses. We've got lots of local businesses involved. Chris, we have a Friends of the Foundation opportunity where lots of the partners and the family of Sheffield United have supported the foundation tangibly through donations, giving us opportunities to kickstart some programs or underpin existing programs. It's a very competitive market, Sheffield, very competitive market. You know, you're drawing down funding. Lots of people going for the same amount of funding. I think uniquely we have a fantastic service on behalf of Sheffield United, so we can reward our participants and our supporters. They get to be our players, they get to come to the games, they get to use our fantastic facilities, of which we have many around the city. The foundation's here, we're home here is our academy. It's an amazing building. We've got an iconic stadium at Bramall Lane, which is the oldest professional football ground in the world. So if they want to get in touch, please do. They can, like I say, they can email us at that email address I've given before, or ring us on that number I've given before. But just go into our website, there's lots of information on there. Our Twitter feed's got lots of information. So we'd love to hear from new people who want to support us. Let's say our profile and our our business output is growing year on year. And yes, really, I'm a privileged and proud man to be heading this business up. Yeah.
All the details I'll include in the description of this interview below. Is there any other social media you want to plug? Your Twitter?
Our Twitter, yes, mate, is at Community SUFC. People want to get involved and just check out what we're doing.
Yeah.
It's very, very interactive. It really showcases on a daily basis what we're doing, what we're about. I'm just looking at one now with the local pharmacy that we work with, Tommy Pharmacy,
yeah.
And a health project we're running on behalf of those guys, kindly sponsored by Sir Dinja and his colleague there at Tommy Pharmacy. So there's endless and many ways that you can get involved. But as I say, it's not constrictive or restrictive. It's even if they just want to champion our cause, that's absolutely fine. Because we've got, I think, our youngest participant is around 4 or 5.
Oh,
nice. And our oldest participant was 92, 93, I think, one of our little projects we were running last year. And a 90-year-old attend one of the sessions. So vast and varied, wide-ranging in terms of being able to engage us at any level. But if we can't support them, our network and friends and other supporters and of what we do, we can signpost them into our network, making sure that they're signposted to the right place, Chris. So yeah, we're very much a go-to organisation at the moment. We're very proud of what we've been doing so far.
So if you want to lose some weight, you get in touch. Do you do anything like mental health football?
We have been within our cohesion program.
Yeah.
We work closely with the Both of Those Project. We've been working with some of their clients. So it's a project that we're building and a program that we're building. So that's delivered locally. And looking at how we achieve sort of happier and healthier people and making sure their well-being is looked after. So we run a couple of programs there. Even just engaging in an activity. What we're saying is if you're healthier, and you'll be happier. So we're addressing mental health through activity.
Yeah.
And physical activity, Chris, so that puts us in a really good position as a sports and education provider to be able to help people who potentially have poor mental health or have some issues, and some of our programs address that indirectly as well as directly.
I've really enjoyed speaking to you today. I'd love to have you on again in the future.
Love it, Chris. Thank you ever so much.
Right. Okay, I've stopped recording. So.